May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll make a prediction to start with, and that is, I think I know what a lot of you have been doing over the summer. And that thing that you have all been doing is watching the Olympics, or at least hearing something about the Olympics, because I don't think there's any one of us here who could have avoided knowing that the Olympics have taken place. And in the Olympics, there have been various disciplines that have been undertaken in all of these different sports, but I want to focus on one in particular, and that is the marathon running. Because if you want to be a marathon runner, you obviously need to have a certain degree of discipline. You need to complete the race. You need to see it through. If when you get up, you decide it's a nice day and I'll go for a walk rather than take place in a marathon event, or you start the race and you feel too tired or it is too difficult, then you can hardly call yourself a marathon runner. There are consequences of being a marathon runner. There is a cost. And of course, the point that I'm making is one of the examples that Jesus provided as to the cost of discipleship. Now, I've started with the easy part of that passage that we heard from Luke, because the rest of that reading is quite difficult. It contains three hard sayings from Jesus, because the gospel is not all about love and fellowship. There are what are known as hard sayings contained within it. It is not always the case that the gospel brings comfort to the distressed. Rather, on occasions, it distresses the comfortable. So let's look at those three particular parts of this passage which might cause us some discomfort. And we'll start with the first, because you may have been puzzled by what you heard, that Jesus says that if you want to be his disciple, you need to hate your mother, your father, your children, even life itself. Do we really need to hate people? I think if we did, we wouldn't be coming to church, because we would hate everyone that we see, we would hate everything, and we will probably sit at home in our own little world of hatred. So I think we need to look carefully at what this reference means. But in doing so, we need to heed the words of Tom Wright, the theologian, because he said that when you come across difficult parts in the Bible, you need to avoid the salt test. And by this, he means that you water something down and then add a heavy dosage of salt to bring it to your taste. On the other hand, we need to guard against taking things literally. You may recall that there is a passage in Matthew which talks about plucking out your eye and cutting off your hand if they offend you. And looking round here, I don't see any one-eyed, handless Christians, so I suspect people don't take this literally. I'm also reassured in that reading the commentaries on this passage, several of the commentators have said that this particular reference by Jesus to hatred is an example of exaggeration. He is wanting to make a point, and the word hatred shouldn't be taken literally. Reverting back to Matthew again, there is a very similar passage in Matthew where Jesus says, that if you want to be my disciple and you love your mother and father and your children more than me, then you cannot be my disciple. And for my own part, I think this is how we should approach this particular passage in Luke. Now, there was another hard saying that we heard of, and that is where Jesus said that you need to give up all of your possessions if you want to be his disciple. Again, looking round, I suspect that no one here has managed to do that. Indeed, if you did, you wouldn't be here. Why? Well, because you need a certain degree of financial stability to live in Buckingham. You need a house to either rent or to mortgage or to own. You may need a car. You need food. All of these things. And yet what, for me, I think this passage is about where we place the emphasis on our possessions. If we have a car and we look longingly at it through the curtains as we sit down in our front room, we go out and polish it, and then we get into a rage when we park it in the supermarket car park and someone has scratched it, then perhaps our priorities are wrong. What I think the passage is saying is that we give up our possessions, not give them away. We give them up and recognize that these are things that are given to us by God to use. We are stewards of these items. Our houses, we are almost tenants, looking after them and keeping them for the next generation to come. And the third hard saying that we heard is about carrying your cross. Each and every one of us is asked to carry our cross. And what is this cross? Well, I don't know what your cross is, only you can know, because it is very individual to each of us. But we can look to the passage that we've heard from Paul to Philemon for an example of someone's cross. Here, Paul is writing to him, a Roman soldier, asking him to show forgiveness to his slave who has run away. Philemon is a Roman soldier, a man of discipline. Things for him were probably very clear-cut. If a slave runs away, he needs to be punished. Because if you don't punish the slave, what will happen? All the other slaves will run away, and one couldn't have that. And yet Paul is asking him to show mercy, and here he has a conflict. He is a soldier on the one hand, but he is also a Christian. And the two are in conflict, because to show mercy to his slave, in all probability, conflicts with his duty as a Roman soldier. So what did he do? Well, we don't know. And in a way, it doesn't really matter what he did, because what does matter is what we do. What we decide is our cross, and whether we ourselves are willing to carry it as disciples of Jesus. Amen.